Tune in as Allison Cross engages in an insightful conversation with author and apologist L. Rita Dodds, delving into her latest book, The Right to be Christian in a Gay Rights America. Stay tuned for this ongoing interview series and don't miss a single episode. Hello and praise the Lord, everybody. We are back. We are back. We are back with my wonderful co-host, L. Rita Dodds. Awesome, awesome author. We have been doing a series on her book and The Right to be Christian in a Gay Rights America. This has been phenomenal, you guys. And I tell you what, you don't want to miss not one week of these tapings because it's just been phenomenal being able to speak with her about this book and really dive into it. And, you know, I think a lot of times people assume what a topic is about and then they judge the topic before they really read and find out what the topic is truly about. And that's right. What we're doing with this book today. We're diving in deep. We're dissecting it to find out what the topic is truly about. So, L. Rita, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. And I want to thank you so very much again for just your graciousness and allowing me to be on your program. It is such a blessing, and you're such a great host. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's open up with a word of prayer. If you want to open us with prayer, we're going to dive right in.
Okay, Father in heaven, we just thank you for this opportunity. We ask, Father, that those who are listening, who are tuning in, who are watching, that they understand what we're saying, Father, and that they understand that they get, you know, they get the understanding of what we're trying to do here. We're defending the faith, Father, but help them to understand we are also sending, you know, sending a message as far as what your word says about these things. It's not to be antagonistic or anything like that. It's just to be children, your children, expressing and witnessing your word about these very sensitive, controversial, but topics and social topics, Father. This topic of homosexuality and LGBTQ lifestyle. I ask, Father, that you give Allison and I wisdom and understanding, endow us with your Holy Spirit, guide us and help us to say all the things that would be helpful to the listening audience and that you would want us to say regarding this particular topic. And thank you for blessing my ministry through Allison Cross. And I ask that you bless her ministry as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Oh, Father, endow us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know if I said that.
Definitely need to endow with his spirit. Amen. So last week we were talking about the different types of sexual sin.
Yes.
God does not approve of, and we were talking about the various ones, not just homosexuality, but all of those various sins that the Lord said, don't do it.
Right. Yes.
Yes. And so I think today we're going to start with homosexuality because we went through a lot of ones last week of prostitution and different type of things that the Lord does not want people doing. And today we're going to pick it up with homosexuality. So go ahead and kick us off.
Yes, we are finally to homosexuality. And just like I said, if the viewing audience hadn't seen the last, I think it's two or three videos that I started off with the other sexual sins.
Right.
So that people can see that homosexuality is, you know, it's not like God is picking on homosexuals. All right. God's word says there is only one legitimate sexual relations that anybody can have, and that's the sexual relations between a man and a woman, a biological man and a biological woman who are married to one another. So that cuts out everything, not just homosexuality. Right. It cuts out adultery. It cuts out premarital sex. It cuts out prostitution. It cuts out polygamy. Yes. You know, yes. So God is very fair, you know.
Yes.
And the reason why we focus in on homosexuality is because out of all the sexual prohibitions of the Bible, homosexuality has a huge movement behind it. Mm-hmm. And so now if you say, well, the Bible says homosexuality is a sin, I can't agree with it. You can be fired. You can be sued. Yeah. You can, you know, all of that. You can lose your kids these days to the state. So so now we get to homosexuality. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is our main topic. And I go through it in my book. Now, there are six passages in the Bible, five in particular. And this is on chapter one in my mm-hmm. book. And I go through them all when I get to homosexuality in the book of chapter one. So mm-hmm. we've got Leviticus 18 and 22. Mm-hmm. Basically we're going to start there. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. It is detestable. Now let me swing down to here. Okay. What I want to do is I'm going to go now to what I do in chapter one mm-hmm. is I lay out all of the scriptures. Okay. Mm-hmm. Basically. And I think we've talked about that.
Right.
Yes. And let's see, that kind of froze up there. So let me go to my book. Mm-hmm. All right. So bear with me. And so in chapter two, what I do is I go into detail as far as the scriptures that we're looking at, okay. Homosexuality. So that's the first thing that I start off with. Mm-hmm. Chapter two, the scriptural arguments, a detailed look. And okay. Of course, we're going to start with the six passages. Mm-hmm. And I'll just list them again. It's Leviticus 18, 22, Leviticus 20 and 13, Romans 1, 18 through 32, uh-huh. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Genesis 19, 1 through 25, and 1 Timothy mm-hmm. 1, 8 through 11. Okay. And I'm trying to just bear with me. Bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My, okay, bear with me here. I apologize.
Yeah, no problem.
My phone froze up.
It happens.
Okay. Yes, right. I'm trying because I want to go by what I have in here in the ebook. All right. So, the first one, Leviticus 18 and 22. These are six primary passages. And mm-hmm. then, of course, Genesis 19, 1 and 25 as well. All right. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. And other translations, you have the word, it is an abomination. That's what detestable, mm-hmm. that's what abomination means. It's disgusting or it's detestable, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I say here that, you know, in order to properly interpret the scripture, we have to look at the verses surrounding it and develop an understanding of why the command was given. And we've done that. We see that the verses surrounding it have to do with sexual sin.
Right.
Right. And this is God gave certain commandments to Moses for him to give to the Jews after they were mm-hmm. Delivered out of slavery from Egypt. So. In the book, of course, I go through Leviticus 18, 1 through 23, but we've done that, I believe, here on the program,
yes. mm-hmm.
where if you look at all the surrounding scriptures, in verse 3, Jesus is saying, you must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live.
Right.
You must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you to. Mm-hmm. All right. And then he goes on to talk about all the sexual sin that you cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, verse 7, do not dishonor your father by having sex with your mother. And it just goes on and on as far as no incest and everything gets yeah. down to verse 22. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. And so I talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Why all of a sudden we think that incest has become a problematic. And we talked about that on the previous program
right.
as well. It came with the fall. And then we talked about also as far as verse 21, as far as giving, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech. Now I'm going to go over that one again. Yes. Okay. So verse 22, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. Mm-hmm. All right. Before that verse is verse 21. Do not mm-hmm. give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So now history tells us that when the surrounding pagan nations, when they worshiped the false god Molech, M-O-L-E-K or M-O-L-E-C-H, that there were homosexual acts accompanied by this. All right. This was idol accompanied by this particular idol worship. There was a lot of, you know, shrine prostitution and things of that sort, which we talked about.
Right.
And therefore, many gay rights advocates, they will contend. And remember this, their thinking about this is rather fluid. They'll change their interpretation from here to there if they're challenged about something. So when I wrote this, this was one of the main arguments of the scripture. Therefore, many gay rights advocates, they contend that God's command for men not to have sex with men in verse 22 only applies to idol worship because they go to verse 21.
Right.
And,
right.
And they say, you know, otherwise they say it's okay, you know. And then so when Christians, when we look at verse at the verse and conclude that we say, no, these are two separate commands, you know, do not give any of your children, sacrifice any of your children to this false idol Molech.
Right.
It's a totally different command from do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. It's two different things. They've combined it. All right.
Even when you look at it, that it doesn't even fit to be combined.
No.
Two different detestable acts.
Well, what they're saying is that since there was a lot of homosexuality and male shrine prostitution with idol worship, then this is the reason why these two scriptures are together. And therefore, you know, we err not to combine them because verse 22 is going with verse 21, you know. And you're right. No, these are separate, but they, of course, they would want to combine them. Now, the interesting part is that, you know, if you do that, if you say, well, this verse is combined with that verse, then you have to do that throughout all of Leviticus 18. Well, when we look at Leviticus 18, you know, when God says, you know, don't have sex with your sister, don't have sex with your mother, don't have sex with, you know, these are really separate commands. They're all under sexual prohibition.
Right.
But, you know, don't have sex with your sister is a different command than don't have sex with your father.
Right.
You know, it's two different people. Right. So anyway, I say when Christians look at the verse and conclude that verse 21 and verse 22 are separate commands, they are usually berated as homophobic and unintelligent. You know, we are, you know, we just don't know what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, just stupid, right?
Yeah, right. as if there was no way, and this is one of the arguments, that verse 22, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, cannot be taken at face value by itself, as if it's unreasonable for us to take that verse at face value by itself. It says it right there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So now listed below, I do some things below that I, you know, in the book that I say are some basic problems with how gay rights advocates are interpreting verse 22 on in this way. And I say here, their argument when it comes to verse 22 is that God's prohibition of homosexuality only applies when homosexual acts are done in conjunction with idol worship. And otherwise, you know, it's okay. Homosexuality is okay. Then the same reasoning, I say, and interpretation would have to be applied to verse 21, which would mean that God's prohibition of sacrificing children only applies when killing children is done in conjunction with idol worship.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Or more specifically, when done in conjunction with worshiping of the false god Molech. Otherwise, killing children is okay. You see, so we use the line of reasoning for verse 22, we have to use that same line of reasoning they're using for verse 21 about Molech. And they're not saying that. So, therefore, and I say, you know, if one sees, you know, the killing of children, wait a minute. No, that's not what that. Otherwise, the killing of children is okay as long as it's not done in idol worship.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then if you say, no, that's not right, then if you can't say otherwise, homosexuality is okay.
That's right.
As long as it's not done, you know, during idol worship, particularly since verse 22 says nothing about idol worship. It where sure verse 21 does. And right. verse 21 says something about idol worship and sacrificing children.
Right.
So, you know.
Two different things.
Yeah, right. It's two different things. But if you're going to say, you certainly wouldn't want to look at God's prohibition of sacrificing children to Molech and saying that only applies to idol worship and to the sacrifice of Molech. Otherwise, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's okay to do it. You can kill kids.
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. Well, then you can't say it for verse 22. Well, you know, it only applies to idol worship, a man with a man. Otherwise, it's okay. You can have sex with a man, can have sex with a man. You mm-hmm. can't apply it there either.
Nope.
You know, because you're using, if you're going to use that tool of that kind of interpretation, then you can't pick and choose. You know, you can't have that double standard on interpretation, which, right. by the way, a lot of times the LGBTQ community and gay rights advocates, they do have double standards. They'll mm-hmm. look at something like this. And so I'm trying to point out the double standard. Okay, now I'll also say, in addition to that argument, not only would we have to interpret verse 21 as saying that sacrificing children is okay as long as it doesn't occur during idol worship. If we were to abide by their guidelines of interpretation, but mm-hmm. we'd also have to interpret verse 21 is saying that it's okay to profane the name of God as long as it is done outside of idol worship. Because if we go back and if we see mm-hmm. verse 21 says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane mm-hmm. The name of your God.
Right.
I am the Lord. So that was two things. You couldn't give your children to Molech. Right. And in doing so, you're profaning the name of God. So mm-hmm. if I go by their interpretation, I'll say, oh, okay, well, as long as it's not idol worship, and particularly as long as I'm not mm-hmm. Worshiping Molech, mm-hmm. I can go ahead and profane God's name, mm-hmm. and I can go ahead and kill my kids and sacrifice them.
Yeah.
You know, or, mm-hmm. or I just kill them.
Yeah.
Well, of course we wouldn't say that.
Right. But that's taking that scripture and saying that I can do what I want to do, basically. And yeah. I'm not going to be held accountable for it because this is literally not what it means. Basically.
Exactly. You know, you can't, if you, like I said, if you use that kind of rule of interpretation, then you would have to use it for the Molech child sacrifice, profane God's name verse as well. And even they know that God is not saying it's okay to profane his name and kill kids as long as you are not doing it during idol worship.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have to also say that it's not okay to indulge in homosexual acts either. You know, idol worship or idol.
Right, whether the shrine worship or not. Yeah. It's just,
right.
Because when you look at that scripture, it says, do not. That's just the bottom line.
Do not.
Right. Have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. Like you were saying, I don't know how clearer or more plainer that can get.
Yeah, that's another thing. If we take the scripture just at face value, it's as if the LGBTQ community and the homosexual community is saying that is unreasonable for us to do. And I say that throughout the book. No, it's not unreasonable for me to look at that scripture and say, okay, man with a man, don't do it. That's homosexuality. It's not supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's another argument. It's like, why can't I take the scripture at face value? And if they don't want me to take the scripture at face value, then their argument not to falls flat. Because then your rules of interpretation have to be applied to verse 21 as well, mm-hmm. with Molech and the killing of kids and the profaning of God's name. Mm-hmm. So you can't have it both ways. If you say homosexuality is okay as long as you're not doing it within idol worship, then you'd also have to say killing kids and profaning God's name is okay if you're not doing it within idol worship. You'd have to apply that same reasoning, that same interpretation rule to both scriptures.
Yeah.
And so that's the argument for us Christians. That's mm-hmm. one of the arguments.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That's really important to know because, you know, defending the faith if we're going to defend what we believe, we better know what we believe inside and out. And we also have to not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy, you know, what the enemy is putting in the heads and the minds of other people. You know, we can't be ignorant of that. We have to know both sides so we can intelligently argue it.
Amen to that, Allison. And that's the reason why I wrote the book, because a lot of Christians don't know what they're arguing, and then don't know the counter argument. You know, I mean, philosophically, maybe this sounds really good, you know, until you start looking at, well, wait a minute, if I argue this way for the verse that says, you know, do not, you know, have sexual relations with a man as you would with a man, I would have to argue the same way with the one with Molech and the kids, and you know, but you got to see that argument,
right?
You know, otherwise, you know, they can run rings around you.
Yep.
And say, hey, this was just during temple worship. Otherwise, homosexuality is okay. And they'll say, you have to understand the culture. You have to understand the culture. Okay, let's look at the interpretation.
That's right. You know,
let's look at both. Let's look at the culture. And let's look at what was being done as far as child sacrifice.
Yep.
You know, so. All right, I say here, now this is, these arguments are in both books, but there might be a couple more arguments here in the ebook, just FYI for those,
you know,
because the ebook was written 4 years after the paperback. And like I said, this is fluid. The arguments change, you know, the arguments are added in, you know, things of that sort. It, you know, this is really fluid with them because, you know, once we get good at debunking one argument, they'll make up another when it comes to discussion.
We're debunking that too.
So we done debunked. So now, in addition, there's even more to this Leviticus 18:22. I want the listening audience to know the arguments, not just the Christian listening audience, but if there's someone listening who is belongs to the LGBTQ community, you know, it's good for you. It's good for them to hear it too. You know, these are the arguments you've given us, and here's the counter argument to that. And I do believe that these counter arguments are very, very hard to debunk. All right, so here's another one. I mean, I'm just going down the list. And
yes.
In addition to these arguments, not only would we have to interpret verse 21, that's the Molech sacrificing children to Molech, as saying that sacrificing children is okay as long as it doesn't occur during idol worship, if we're to abide by one of their interpretations. But we would also have to interpret as profaning God's name. Okay. If then one interprets verse 22 as saying that the prohibition of homosexuality is only prohibited when done in conjunction with idol worship, then one would have to apply that same interpretive rule to verse 21. Okay, with the profaning of his name, which we know is wrong. And then I say verse 22 reads as a separate command. We've talked about that. Okay,
right.
It really, from verse 21, the two don't go together. They want to put it together, but it really doesn't go together.
Right.
Because if you put it together, then you have to make those interpretive rules for verse 21 as far as Molech. And then I say it is simply not wrong or unreasonable to take verse 22 for face value. That's another point. Okay. There's no absolute and exclusive correlation in the passage when it comes to homosexuality being connected with idol worship. It's just not there, you know. But there is a direct and absolute mandate in the passage that forbids men having sex with men as they would with women.
Right.
That's there.
Right.
So whether it's the mandate is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, it was seen that if homosexuality is only a sin we can buy it with idol worship, then the reverse would be true. All right. If we're going to interpret that idol worship is only a sin when combined with homosexuality. See, you know, if A equal B equal A, you know, right now, Okay, so in other words, the reverse would have to be true. So that means, I can worship idols as long as I don't have any shrine, male shrine prostitutes around, or, you know, include that idol worship with homosexuality, you know. So that's another argument. And I say, but gay rights advocates, they don't argue the latter position. Why? Because they know it's simply not true. They know that idol worship is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Period.
Period.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. So if you say, well, homosexuality is only acceptable, you know, I mean, it's not acceptable only with idol worship, then yes, you'd have to say, well, then idol worship is only non-acceptable when you include homosexuality. Otherwise, idol worship is okay. Ah,
yeah.
You know, you say one, you have to say the other, you have to, you know,
and right.
You know, that's an argument.
Yeah.
That's just an argument. That just gives, and I say that because it just gives to the facetiousness of the argument in the first place that homosexuality is okay as long as you're not doing it within idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Okay. So that's Leviticus 18 and 22, the arguments there.
Yeah.
You know, one of the big arguments, you know, you might not even get there. You were arguing the actual verse. Okay. But then you might not even get there because, you know, they might shut you down and just say, well, that's Old Testament. You know, that's Old Testament. That's not, you know, and the law went away and all that. But then you would have to say, okay, so do we say the same for all these other sexual sins that's listed in this chapter, like bestiality?
Right.
You know, having sex with animals. That's Old Testament too.
Yeah.
Jesus never talked about it. You know, so do we say that's okay?
Not at all. That's an abomination to the 10th power.
I mean, do we talk about disgusting in the temple?
Yeah.
You know, do we say that having sex with your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, since that's Old Testament, that's okay? Most of them would say no. Polygamy, that's Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know, and there are people in the LGBT community who are staunchly against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, because they'll
You have to accept it. You have to accept the, because the Old Testament is the foundation on which the New Testament was, you know, built.
Right.
The law was fulfilled, but it doesn't mean the law went away. It doesn't mean like the Ten Commandments. What are you going to, if you're going to say that you're not going to abide by the Old Testament or agree with, you might as well throw the Ten Commandments out and just do have a heyday and do whatever you want, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we have to remember that some things in the Old Testament, you know, a lot of things as far as the law was fulfilled by Jesus' coming,
right?
You know, there are things that did change, you know, like, you know, there were you know, prohibitions about eating certain foods in the Old Testament.
Right.
Then in Mark 7, it says, you know, all foods are clean, that kind of thing. You know, as long as you pray with thanksgiving and eat. Now, that doesn't mean that you abuse your body with food as far as, you know, eat poisonous things or, you know, that kind of thing. You know, a lot of people, you know, or go to extremes, you know, as far as, you know, eating things that, you know, might not, you know, like eating, you know, 5 gallons of ice cream, you know, in one day or something like that. You know, we're not, you know, we're not talking about that. You know, it's okay to eat ice cream, you know, it's okay. But, you know, let's not take that scripture, you know, and make it into something that's not, you know. But so that's another argument they're going to come up with. And so, you know, you kind of have to know some of the changes that were made from Old to New Testament, where Jesus Christ fulfilled, you know, fulfilled it. You because with his coming, you no longer had to sacrifice a goat or a lamb or anything for a sin offering or what have you, you know, because Jesus was the ultimate sin offering. He sacrificed himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's the ultimate blood sacrifice. So a lot of what was done in the Old Testament as far as not eating certain things and, you know, sacrificial things and things of that sort doesn't necessarily apply now because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. So you have to have an understanding of that to know why certain things change. Well, one thing didn't change, and that's a man should not have sex with a man as he has sex with a woman. That didn't change. There's no change there.
No,
and you can take him right to there's three passages that we're going to get to in the New Testament where people can see, okay, that hasn't changed. But the thing is, if you're talking about this with somebody in the LGBTQ community, they say, that's Old Testament. You really have to know where the New Testament scriptures are.
Yeah.
To say, no, it's just not Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
This is New Testament as well.
Yep.
You got to know where the scriptures are. And so that's why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
Okay. So now the next one is Leviticus 20, verse 13. Now, do we have time to go through this one? Or
yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So Leviticus 20, verse 13. It's similar to Leviticus 18, verse 22, but we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the verse, and this is the New International Version. If a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. Now, let me just say here, because this is Old Testament. This is where Old and New Testament comes in. Because in the Old Testament, there were certain sins that you did where you were put to death. All right. Homosexuality wasn't the only one. But see, a lot of times they'll read this and they'll say, oh, God was so mean and cruel. And, you know, there was a death penalty for this. Well, we have things in our society that there's a death penalty. And and when Jesus came, now this is a lot of Christians might not agree with me on this, you know, and that's a whole nother topic. You know, we probably need an hour to talk about that. But what'd you say?
Would you make an hour to talk about it?
Yeah, because I believe, and I just have to say it because of this scripture here. And I as I go along, I'll probably say some things with it that capital punishment when Jesus came, I believe that that went away. As far as the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, body for a body. But, you know, apparently there's some things because Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. By believing in him, we don't pass into the second death, which is hell. Mm-hmm. You know, so anyway, so here you have they are to be put to death. And the homosexual community, the LGBTQ community, they're going to go there. So we have to know what we believe about capital punishment. Okay. Right. And whether or not, you know, which Christian, you know, which camp we're in. You know, and it's okay. It's not an essential doctrine of the Christian faith, whether or not you believe in capital punishment or not. But I don't believe capital punishment applies in New Testament era today. That's me. All right. So I would go to scriptures that go there because they're going to, you know, but if you don't believe that, there's still argument for the case. So now I say the above passage of scripture, that's the Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, is a repeat of God's prohibition as far against homosexuality in Leviticus 18, 22. Now here's the difference. The death penalty is added in. That's one of the differences. But the first thing we're going to look at in detail is that women are added. We're talking about lesbianism. All right. So, yes. So in Leviticus 18, you just see man with man. And if you don't know that, well, there's a Leviticus 20 and 13. they might be able to say, well, that's not two women. That's just talking about two men, you know, in the Old Testament. So we see that we're talking about men with men and women with women.
Right.
You know? I'm sorry. Excuse me. I looked at this wrong. See, correct me if I'm wrong. It says if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what's detestable. I apologize. I think in Romans 1 verses 18, where it includes women. So forgive me for that.
32. Yeah, that's the next scripture.
Yep. Yeah, right. I'm getting confused. So about that. I'm going too fast.
That's okay.
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah, okay. So all right. Yep, going. Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, I say this is punishable by death. Now, it must be emphasized here, this is what I say, as noted in the previous chapter, that under the Old Testament Mosaic law, before the coming of Christ, God decreed certain sins punishable by death. And see, I've gone over that.
Right.
However, Old Testament execution death penalties that God imposed under Mosaic law for a number of sins, I believe, okay, that I'm of the opinion, and I go through it scripturally, no longer apply to today's New Testament of grace because Jesus atoned for and redeemed us from our sins and by his sacrificial death on the cross.
You know, so, I just want to interject. If there wasn't grace, the world probably, we probably wouldn't even be here.
No.
Everyone has done something worthy of death, I'm sure. And for the grace of God and Jesus dying on the cross, we'd be toast.
We would be toast. Yeah. And all of us have done something worthy of death in God's eyes. You know, we're in, I say, the dispensation of grace, God has given us grace through the sacrifice of his son, God incarnate, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, second part of the Godhead. And thank God for the grace.
I'm telling you, we'd be in trouble.
We sure would. Yes, absolutely. So I say, let's take another look at a portion of the chapter. What do I do here? I'm looking at Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it reads, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, any Israelite or any foreigner residing in Israel who sacrifices any of his children to Molech is to be put to death. The members of the community are to stone him. So this is Leviticus 20, verse 1. I myself would say, now you see there, okay, there's put to death because of that. It's not just, you know, it's not just homosexuality. I myself, verse 3, will set my face against him and will cut him off from his people, for by sacrificing his children to Molech, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name. The members of the community, verse 4, close their eyes when that man sacrifices one of his children to Molech. And if they fail to put him to death, I myself will set my face against him and his family and will cut them off from their people together with all who followed him in prostituting themselves to Molech.
Wow.
I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums, and spirits, that's some tarot cards there, to prostitute themselves against by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. Ouija boards, too, all that kind of stuff.
Yep, horoscopes, all that.
Sorcerers, witches, yeah. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. So that was another death thing. If you cursed your father or mother, you were supposed to be put to death. Because they have cursed their father or mother, their blood will be on their hand. On their head. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Not just the woman, the man too.
Both of them.
All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Equal opportunity, put to death for adultery kind of thing.
Yeah.
If a man has sexual relations with his father's wife, he has dishonored his father. Both the man and the woman are to be what? Put to death.
Put to death.
Their blood will be on their own hands. If a man has sexual relations with his daughter-in-law, both of them are to be put to death. What they have done is a perversion. Their blood will be on their own heads. If a man has sex with a man, if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. Now, here's our scripture, right?
Right.
Both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their own blood will be on their own heads. But see, when you read it in context, God's just not picking on the homosexual.
Right.
All these other people would be, you know, there was a death penalty for a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 14. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, it is wicked. They got to burn in the fire. 15. A man has sexual relations with an animal. He is to be put to death. And the animal, too. You got to kill the animal. Both of them.
You know, and this is something that people don't talk about in detail.
Right, right.
That's why it's so important not to just pick out one scripture and decide I'm going to interpret this scripture the best way that it fits me or what I'm doing. You have to read the whole thing.
But read it in context.
Yes.
God is not picking on homosexuals. No. God is not picking on people who have that inclination.
Nope.
God,
sin, you know, is sin.
A sin is sin. You know, look at all this other stuff he's talking about. Mm-hmm. All those folks were to be put to death too. The adulterer was to be put to death.
Yeah,
and not just the women, the men too.
Yeah, and it says that their blood will be on their own heads.
That's a threat
throughout the whole passages of scripture. It's on you. You know
exactly.
It's on you. Your blood is on your head because you chose to do this.
Right. So capital punishment in the Old Testament, you were going down for all these sexual sins.
And
it's not just homosexuality. And then, verse 16, this is the last one. If a woman approaches an animal to have sexual relations with it, kill both the woman and the animal. So God is equal. He didn't say, well, if a man has sex with an animal, you can spare him. No, if a man has sex with an animal, you got to kill him and the animal. Mm. Well, execute them and put them to death. And it says the same thing with a woman. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own hands. So I say verse 6:13, if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, they're to be put to death, is a part of many other verses, just like we're saying. You know, you got to look at it. Not only is homosexuality on the list, but there's a whole bunch of stuff
that's
on the list.
Whole list.
You know, right. And then I probably, I talk about, I say in Leviticus 20, the verses prohibiting idol worship. Do not immediately precede the verse that prohibits homosexuality. I want them to see this. Mm-hmm. They need to see this. So let's go back. Because, okay. You know, in Leviticus 18 and 22, one of the arguments was, well, verse 21 is talking about idol worship. Mm-hmm. And so that correlates with verse 22. Mm-hmm. Okay, but in Leviticus verse 20 and 13, mm-hmm. if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable, all right, which correlates with Leviticus 18 and 22.
Right.
Well, then if we say it's only talking about idol worship, because, you know, in Leviticus 18, the scripture that came before that, verse 21, was talking about idol worship, then Leviticus 20, verse 13, that says if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them has done what is detestable. With that reasoning, then verse 12, the one before it, should be talking about idol worship as well, right?
That's right.
But it doesn't. What's the verse before verse 13? If a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. Mm-hmm. 20 and 13, the scripture before that, the verse before that is, if a man has sexual relations with his daughter-in-law, both of them are to be put to death. All right? Right. What they have done is a perversion. Their blood will be on their own hand. His daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's no, how do you reconcile idol worship with these two scriptures? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you can't.
Nope.
Even with Leviticus, Leviticus 20 and 13, if a man has sex with a relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. Well, the verse before that doesn't talk about idol worship.
Nope, it does
even
not.
The verse before that, verse 11, doesn't talk about idol worship.
So you can't put it there.
You can't put it there. And then afterwards, verse 14 doesn't talk about idol worship.
Right.
It's talking about if a man marries a woman with her mother, you mm-hmm. know, he marries them both or whatever. That's wicked.
Yeah.
That's not talking about idol worship.
It has nothing
we have to
do with
all the way back up to verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6 that talks about, well, 5 that talks about idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he says.
But all of the rest of them don't talk about idol worship.
Exactly. So idol worship is separate. It's something separate, you know. And if we want to combine idol worship here, if we say, well, you know, then we'd have to say, well, what's the verse that follows idol worship if we wanted to do that?
Right. Yep.
That would be verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't talk about homosexuality. Verse 6 says, I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists.
Yep.
You know,
totally.
And that is separate than idol worship.
Yes.
But that's the verse that comes after idol worship. So you see, I'm just trying to see how we cannot use their rule of interpretation regarding idol worship with these scriptures. And you would have to go through the scriptures in context. Don't allow them just to what they always accuse us of cherry picking, but a lot of times they're the ones doing it. They're, don't let them go through and cherry pick and just read Leviticus 22, you know, and then Leviticus 21 and associate those two. And then just read Leviticus 20 and 13 and say, oh, it's just terrible that God would put us to death.
Yeah.
Not read he's putting up a whole bunch of people to death.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's special.
For what they're doing.
Right. For what they're doing.
I think when a person is not sold out to God or has not been renewed in their mind and the word and their heart has not been turned over to God for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of fake turning over hearts, you know. But when a person looks at the Bible, they'll begin to, as you said, interpret it the way what best fits them. And they'll interpret it based on what best fits their lifestyle or what have you, whether it be alcoholic, you know, homosexuality, drunkenness, adultery, whatever. People will always find a way that have not been renewed in the word and in their mind and heart to make what they do good or make what they do okay. But once we begin to deny ourselves, take up our cross, as the Bible said, and follow Jesus for real, the old man will begin to die. The old flesh, all that stuff that we thought was, oh, it was just okay. The closer you get to God, the further away you'll, you know, get from other stuff that doesn't please him.
And you will want to live. You're right, Allison. You will find yourself not feeling too good if you fall into temptation. You know, you'll be repenting because you'll want to live your life the way God said, despite whatever inclinations you might have, anybody might have. Yeah, I say you. I mean, you in general.
Yeah.
Despite that, because the bottom line, and I say this, the bottom line is Jesus, the Lord sent his son, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus, second part of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. Jesus came as a human being. Mm-hmm. He lowered himself as a human being. Mm-hmm. To be the ultimate sacrifice, because, you know, Israel and anybody else who believed in the Lord back then, they weren't doing too good with all these laws and sacrificing for forgiveness of sin, and they weren't meeting the mark. And Jesus came as the ultimate Messiah. Said, okay, I'll be the ultimate sacrifice. All you got to do now is just believe on me. But his sacrifice included being whipped and beat beyond recognition and dragged through the humiliated, you know. You know, he was naked on that cross. You know, we, you know, it was horrible. The torture of that. He was beat so badly. He was unrecognizable. He had they clawed the flesh from him. Mm-hmm. It was just horrible. Even he appealed to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's like, take this cup from me, but you know, not your will, but my will be done. This is going to be horrible. So I figure, okay. If Jesus Christ got whipped and beaten beyond recognition, suffered and died for me, was humiliated, spat on, and paraded around in a cross of thorns and pushed around. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of some of the things that, you know, it's not the same thing, but what we've heard about recently as far as the Hamas taking people captive and parading them around and humiliating them and, you know, and parading them around on the streets and this horrible stuff. Well, Jesus was paraded around, all right? Yeah. It's the same kind of thing. He was paraded around and humiliated and spat at and mocked before they even took him to the cross. Yeah. You know, and then that was a certain type of humiliation. And he was he was beat to death, you know, and hung there. And so he did that for me.
Yeah.
He sacrificed for me. I can't sacrifice some premarital sex for him.
See?
I can't sacrifice some drinking or drugging for him.
Yeah.
I can't sacrifice my body because, you know, I have inclinations, right? Mm-hmm. But I can't say, okay, I'm not going to do that. Because, you know, look what Jesus went through for me.
Yeah. You know, you ought to be able to give up something, right?
Something. Yeah, well, everything he's told us to give up. But, you know, of course, it's a struggle. But we should be willing to go through the struggle.
Yeah.
And not say, I got the right. I feel this is how I feel. So I got the right. You know, we can all say that. I got the right. You know, that's how I'm feeling. And, you know, so this is how God made, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, no, not really. You know, and Jesus died for, I say Jesus died hard for us. So let's be a die hard for Jesus. You know.
Amen. You
know, let's die in our flesh. Yeah. That's, you know, but anyway. So we look at Leviticus 20 and 13, and basically those are the arguments that you know, I say here, in addition, if we accept the gay rights advocate line of reasoning when it comes to Leviticus 18:22. We'd also have to say that involvement in the occult consulting mediums in Leviticus 20:6 is only prohibited when it's coupled with idol worship. You know,
basically everything in that Leviticus 20 verses 1 through 18, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. And so basically, if you're going to accept that homosexuality is okay, you got to accept that everything else in there is okay.
You absolutely do, you know. And if you're going to be upset about homosexuals at the time being put to death for their sin, then you got to see that, okay, but it wasn't just that.
Yeah.
God, that's how God operated back then when you sinned.
Yeah, it was one of those things.
Yeah, adulterers got killed too. You know, the punishment was death. However, I would take them, this is where I would take them to the New Testament, when they brought the woman, you know, found in adultery to Jesus. Mm-hmm. This woman has been found in adultery, you know, caught in adultery, and they wanted to stone her.
Yeah, okay? They did.
That's Old Testament. Right, right. Death, right? That's what was supposed to be done. Did Jesus say, yeah, stone her? That's the law. Mm-hmm. He didn't say that. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, all y'all who don't sin, you never sin. You don't have no sin. Mm-hmm. Be the one to first throw the first stone.
And they dropped them and left.
They're sinning in some way, right?
Yeah, they dropped them and left.
They got them out of there. To me, that says, okay, capital punishment is over. You know, because Jesus didn't say, yeah, stone her. He said, well, y'all, if we stone her, we gotta stone y'all too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna have to stone everybody. Yep. You know, and so I would take them there. And say, so God is not saying stone the homosexual. He's not saying that anymore, you know. But what God is saying is stop doing it. It's wrong. And it's an abomination. And if you're not careful, if you're practicing any sin, then you're, if you profess to be a Christian and you're practicing these sins, then your salvation is in question. And we'll get to that. You know, we're going to get to that. And your soul is in jeopardy because your salvation is in question, because why would you continue without remorse if you're really saved? You need to examine yourself if you're really saved. So,
well, remember going over to Samuel, the book of Samuel, Eli's wicked sons. You know, they just did Hophni and Phinehas. They did whatever they wanted to do.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, and they didn't stop. They were priests, you know. They just kept doing it. They were sleeping with the women and, you know, doing all type of stuff and, you know, strong arming the people out of the offering. Well, they ended up dying in battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ended up dying. And it's like, speaking to the point of God's mercy, you know, how many times we do stuff, sin in word, thought, over and over again. I mean, we could wake up in the morning, have a crazy thought, oh, Lord, forgive me, you know, help my mind, deliver me. And God has mercy.
He has had mercy and gives us grace. But, you know, I always say, don't take that grace for granted.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how much grace we have.
Yeah.
And that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, God can say, okay, you know, you hanging by a thread here. you know,
it comes a point in time where God is like, go ahead.
Yeah, he does. Right. He gives us up to the world.
Yeah.
Just like he did. He'll give us up.
He'll turn us over.
He'll turn us over. And we'll be getting to that because our next scripture, passage of scripture the next time is Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. The majority of the scriptures against homosexuality and the LGBTQ lifestyle, against homosexuality in particular, and lesbianism is in the New Testament.
The New Testament, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you add Genesis, then it's pretty much equal. So I'm not really adding Genesis in because of the arguments that they have. There's a particular argument that, you know, it's like, well, okay, but, you know, it's not as a point blank as these arguments are.
Gotcha.
So your point blank arguments
are in here.
You got three really point blank arguments in the New Testament. You got two point blank arguments here in Leviticus. And then you've got an implied argument with Genesis.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know, so that's really, you know, important, as I said before, excuse me, to argue intelligently. Now, and sometimes when people think of argument, they think of, you know, knock down, drag out, we're going to duke it up, we're going to scream, we're going to holler, we're going to, you know, spew and spout our opinion angrily. But no, we want to sit down and have an intelligent conversation.
Right.
The Bible says that it's with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So if we're going to draw people to Christ, number one, we have to be kind. We have to be loving according to the word. And then we also need to know what we're talking about.
Amen. We do, you know, and this is not to be, I always say, people think when we talk about these things, oh, we're not being unloving. No, we're not being unloving if we don't relay these things, if we don't tell the truth. We tell the truth, just like you said, in love, and it's in Ephesians, you know, but we have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of love do I have for someone if I don't tell the truth? That's not love.
Yeah, just like a parent with a child. I'm not going to watch my child walk into traffic.
Exactly.
I love my child. I'm going to go and save my child from getting run over.
Exactly. And then I'm going to tell him, don't walk into traffic.
Yeah.
On top of that, I'm going to say, look both ways. What are you doing? You know?
Right. And then, you know, the enemy, the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Why wouldn't we want to do what the Great Commission says and go out and seek and save those that are lost?
Right.
We want to, in this book, in what I'm seeing is it's fulfilling the Great Commission, because we're seeking to save those that are lost in their thinking.
Yes.
Lost in the way that they think, lost in the way that they interpret the scripture, because when you interpret the scripture wrongly, you draw your own conclusions that, you know, just basically allow you to do what you want to do and say, it's okay because God understands. Mm-hmm. But if we love our brothers and sisters as ourselves, we will present the gospel to them in a way that, hey, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, hey, well, maybe, now that El Rita has really broken it down, maybe I do need to take another look at the way I'm thinking about things or the way I'm believing things, you know, because quite frankly, some people have never had the word broken down to them for real.
Well, that's
what they heard people say.
Exactly. And you've got, you know, like what you said, a lot of people haven't had the word hasn't been broken down to them. So they're in this lifestyle and they hear Christians saying, well, it's a sin. But it's not broken down to them why it's a sin. And I believe there are some people in the lifestyle that would be willing to sit down and say, okay, show me what you're talking about.
Yep.
You know, what is your argument? You know, and this would be the book to help show them.
Yeah.
You know, these are the arguments. This is why we cannot condone it. You know, that kind of thing. I was invited to speak at a bookstore and the bookstore owner, I didn't know, not owner, manager who invited me. He was in the LGBTQ community and he had invited me because he wanted the community to see the other side. The other side of the argument to be open enough to, here's why. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that he had, and that he was part of the community when he invited me. He never told me.
Wow. Okay.
I had some trouble there though. And I'll have to tell you about it. Oh, but boy, did I had some trouble. And then he ended up coming to apologize to me after. He said, he's like, you know, I'm from that community. I had picked it up when he came up to me. It's like, he said, and I said, okay. He said, and I brought you here. So, you know, to try to, you know,
bridge the gap.
Yeah. Or to try to get the community to see, okay, this is their side of the argument. Let's be open enough to look at their side. But it didn't work out that way. So one of these days, so he apologized. He said, and he was really disturbed by the reaction. He just, you know, some people think he might have set me up. I said, no, I don't think so. Not he's very sincere, you know, that was his purpose to try to, you know, okay, let's look at this side of it. I just say that to say there are those in this lifestyle who are willing to look at the argument, you know, look, you know, but you got to know the argument to give them the argument. Who are willing to say, okay, why do you guys think that homosexuality is a sin? What is in the Bible that, you know, tell me? And it's like, okay, have a seat. Let's get some coffee. You know,
and this let's is have why, a conversation.
Yeah, let's have a conversation. And this is what, you know, this was the main reason of my book is for Christians to be able to defend themselves.
Right.
Basically, if you're on the job and they say, you know, you're wrong for this, it's like, wait a minute, hold this, I'm defending myself because I have freedom of religion and my religion says I can't condone this. Not that I can't eat lunch with somebody who's in a lifestyle, but that I can't condone their lifestyle. I can't approve of it. I can't agree with it. Not that I can't work side by side, but if the office says we're going, you know, we're having a ice cream and cake for the marriage of Joe and Jim, I can't come.
That's right.
I can't. Yeah. I can't participate in this affirmation because of what the Bible says. And now they want to fire me because I didn't come to the party, or now everybody thinks I'm hateful because I didn't come to the party. It's right. Like, no, I'm following my relationship with Christ. I'm following what the Word of God says. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I have to follow it. Right. So, you know, but a lot of people, if they say, okay, well, tell me why then. Mm-hmm. They won't know why. They won't be able to articulate it. With this book, you will. You'll know the arguments. You'll know the scriptures. You'll be able to take them. You'll be able, just like we went through Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. You know, it's like you got to look at it in context. You know,
right?
You'll be able to defend the faith,
yeah,
and to defend yourself. But you also might be able to bring somebody out of that. Yeah. God might not you. The Lord does it, but God might use you as a tool.
Yes,
it's interesting. I think I might have said so. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but I have a friend, and we were together all day, and I won't say why, but we were together all day. There was a time where we were waiting for something. Okay. I'll just say that. I'm trying to say it so that, you know, nobody will know who it is, right? You know, but it was, something that she had to do in a place where she had to go and, you know, take care of some business. So while she was waiting, you know, I had my book. So she, you know, really basically it was all day we were trying to get this thing done, right? She read through the book. She came to me and she said, well, you know, apparently homosexuality is a sin. Basically, it's all through the book, you know, or whatever she said, you know, you can't, I guess this is hard to argue, right? She said, but after reading your book, I'm going to stop fornicating.
Oh, wow.
See, now I wasn't even, because she read through the whole book.
Mm.
So she read through all the parts that talked about premarital sex.
Yeah.
And it convicted her, and I was shocked because I didn't even really write the book for that.
Right.
But I added it in, and it convicted her. She said, I'm going to stop.
See?
I said, oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
So what I'm saying that to say is, prayerfully, the same thing will happen to those in the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they pick up the book, and I say that, you know, the purpose is to give the Christian the tools with which to defend the faith in themselves.
Right.
But also, the prayer is, if you do pick up this book and you're open-minded enough to read through it, that you will rethink some things too.
That's right.
Rethink some things, you know, that it'll make you rethink some things. And if you know, a lot of people who live this lifestyle, they say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They identify themselves as Christians. It's questionable if you're doing this, if you're practicing this, but they've been convinced that it's okay. This will make you rethink that. If you say you're a Christian and you're doing this.
Yeah.
This book, you know, and if you say you're a Christian and you're doing anything, you shouldn't be doing
stuff. Yeah, other
stuff, you know. So anyway, I figure we'll leave off here.
Okay. I tell you what, I mean, I know that this interview is gonna go on for quite a while because we only got to like a couple of scriptures within a chapter.
Right. Right.
It's important to be able to take the time and not rush through stuff so that we can really unpack it, you know?
I appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah. We want to unpack it. We want to make it palatable. We want to make it understandable. So by the time we get done with one scripture, you're going to thoroughly know that what that scripture is really talking about.
Right. Not right. And if somebody wants to come against you regarding it, how to defend it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
First thing you want to do is like, oh no, let's not just look at, let's look at the whole, let's look at it in context.
Yes. And yeah. I appreciate that. This has been so wonderful. Elrita, oh my God, I can't wait till next week. I'm like a kid waiting to go to a candy store. Yes.
Thank you so much, Allison. You are just such a wonderful host. I can just kind of go, you know, it's like I can just kind of teach a Bible study, actually, you know, on this. Yeah. You know, yeah. I really appreciate it. You know, it's very helpful. And thanks for, and you're even very patient if, you know, something goes wrong and I got to fix it. So I appreciate
it. Don't even worry about that. You know, things happen. Now, we're in a technological age where things are subject to change. Things are subject to happen. So, hey, we just give that, you know, space and time. But Arena, tell us how can people get in touch with you? And I'm going to tell everybody, get the book, get the download, get it, because it is great. And you know what? You got other books that you published as well. Give us the titles of those other books.
Because I started, my first book is dealt with slavery, the slavery issue, because there are a lot of Black people. See, okay, the Lord gave me four subjects. Slavery, racism, women, and homosexuality, as far as defending the faith. So I started with slavery. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, here in America, you know, there are a lot of Black people who will not pick up a Bible or who are won't go to church or against Christianity because they believe that the Bible condoned the type of slavery that was imposed upon our ancestors in the antebellum years here in America. So I debunk all that. So my first book is, well, it was called Slaves Obey Your Masters, What the Bible Really Says About Slavery. But I changed it, because a lot of people didn't understand the title.
Yeah.
Because I used that scripture that says that, and I really go through it in the passages and in context to talk about what it's really saying. But it was just a turnoff. So I revised the book, and the book now is just called What the Bible Really Says About Slavery.
Yeah, and it's a great book. We got to talk about that a little bit one day.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, and then after that, I wrote The Trouble with Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that because the Nation of Islam has been the biggest proponent of promoting this false accusation and doctrine that says the Bible is the white man's religion. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that started, you know, and that Elijah Muhammad said that the Bible is nothing but a Black slave making religion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they infiltrated, the biggest proponents in this day and age. And that really affected a lot of people in the Black community. They look at it as a white man's religion. They really do. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote that book, about 3 years after the Million Man March, which was, you know, very successful for the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan. And I took four of his main speeches during that time, plus including the one at the march. And I went through it verbatim, you know, as far as, you know, and I debunked a lot of what he was saying scripturally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. It's defending the faith as far as, no, this is not what the Bible says, because he used the Bible a whole lot to defend all of his false doctrine. Mm-hmm. And so that was a part of it. I couldn't write about slavery without writing about that.
Right.
Because of what Elijah Muhammad said in his book, Message to the Black Man in America, 1965, which, you know, he was a successor to the founder of the Nation of Islam. But all of that had to do with debunking Christianity. I mean, what their whole thing, coming against Christianity, saying it's a white man's religion. To me, as far as I'm concerned, okay, now, you know, God told me to defend faith in this area. So then that was in that area as far as Black racism, you know. And so then in 2010, I wrote Racism, the Bible, and the American Dream. Now I'm talking about white racism, you know. And how a lot of white people like the KKK would misuse the Bible to say that the Bible says the Blacks are inferior. So I had to go through all that. I went through at the time as much history as I could as far as Jim Crow, civil rights, the history of the transatlantic slave trade, how Islam, you know, has perpetrated in the history, this lie, as well as far as Blacks being cursed to be slaves, all of that, and then debunking all of that. Mm. Before that, in 2002, I wrote a book, Is God a Chauvinist, the Bible and Women? And that's the only book I've written that basically deals with people thinking, women thinking the Bible is chauvinistic and sexist.
Right. And I think we did an interview years ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because you've been so gracious.
We gotta get back to that. We gotta get to all of that.
That one I would like to, now that I'm in seminary, I would like to do a revised version of that one. And I would like to do a revised version of Racism in the Bible and the American Dream, because I only went up to the Trayvon Martin incident had not happened when I wrote that book.
Okay.
So I see race in America not as before Trayvon and after Trayvon. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference, but so I don't have the after Trayvon. Okay. You know, I have the before, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's from slavery up until when Obama was elected, basically.
Okay.
You know? So yeah, but after that, you know, we have 13 years after that that's not addressed. Right. So it's like, okay, I'd like to do a revised version. And yeah. Then I did a book on Christian dating that the Lord didn't tell me to do, but I felt it was okay. I went up in about 6 months, and it still sells. Mm-hmm. Christians who are seriously dating or would like to be. Questions mm-hmm. every Christian should ask before and get engaged to be married. That book still it's still in print, and it's still available on Amazon.
You know, I think there's
counseling. Huh?
Yeah, that book's needs to be out there.
Yeah, it's still out there. It needs some revision too, because of course it was written before all this technology, before social media, all of it. It's written 2004 and published. But there's a section in there where you can write your own questions, because it's a list of questions in compatibility areas. And you ask your significant other the questions, they ask you the questions, and then you write down their answers. You know, mm-hmm. it's like a workbook, and you go home and say, okay, am I really compatible in this area? And the areas are, there's 10 areas, you know, from finances to children, to in-laws, to exes, to, I even have with the understanding that you're not having sex because you're not supposed to be having sex. I even have a chapter on there as far as sex, you know, mm-hmm. because even if people have never had sex, they have an idea of what they're going to do, what they would do and what they wouldn't do, you know.
And you better know before you say that.
Get married, you know, and then all of a sudden you're married and it's like, he wants me to do this or she wants me to do that. And I don't, you know, all of that's in the book. It's like, you know, as far as, you know, are you compatible? Yeah. You know, questions you would never ask.
People need that book. And I say that because you have a lot of singles just making decisions based on a couple of dates and how your flesh.
That's it. And then you have pastors that don't really have a whole lot of time to spend on mm-hmm. this. And so they might counsel, you know, the couple one or two times, and they don't get into the nitty gritty of stuff. And then you get married and you find out you're not compatible in this, not compatible, even lifestyle, you know, you know, are you neat? Are you sloppy? Are you, you know, I mean, even all of that kind of stuff. But yes, I even add that in with the understanding with that. I say, you need to talk on the phone with this. Don't be together talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. But I add it in. Yeah. So,
awesome.
A lot of the book is still in print, and people still get it.
Good.
And then this one is my, I say eighth book. Well, two of the books are revised, mm-hmm. the one on slavery mm-hmm. and this one. There's the 2018 paperback, mm-hmm. and then there's the 2022 ebook
right.
that adds in a few more arguments. Mm-hmm. There's a little language change and adds in in chapter 7, the Supreme Court case decision. I go through them, what happened in them as far as this subject is, all the way up to February of 22. Now, that's fluid too. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of decisions have been made after that, but still you have a pretty good grip on what decisions went down before that. Mm-hmm. How we got here.
Yeah. How did we get here? That, you know, and that's something that
in America
that's really important. How did we get here? Where did it start? And I appreciate your writing because it's so in depth, it's so thorough. And when I'm reading the book, I want something that's gonna feed me. I need the knowledge. I want to know the real deal. I don't want the hype and the fluff. I want the deal. And that's something that that you give us, Elrita.
Thank you so much.
Is you give us the deal. You give it, you know, you break it down, you do thorough research, it's not thrown together. And it actually challenges us aspiring authors to dig deep.
Yeah.
When you're presenting something. So
well thank you so much. Because you know, it's one thing to write a book, it's another thing to have a great friend, wonderful friend like you, who really sees and understands what I'm trying to do, who understands my ministry, the ministry that God has given me. And gives me an outlet, a platform, you know, where, you know, other people can know about it. I don't really have a platform. You know, I'm a writer. So what do? I write books, I publish them. And then I, you know, I pray to God to get a distributor, to get them out there. And he does. He has. And the book has, my books have gone international, which is great. You know, not, you know, bestseller. But they're, you know, they're in seminaries and they're in bookstores and they're in libraries and, you know, they're overseas here and there, you know, not to brag, just to say that, you know, if God has done something to promote our ministry, I think that's success, you know. And so you doing this helps to even promote it further, because we need to say that for anybody who might be looking at this, you know, outside of America. The book is available outside of America. You know, I have a national and international distributor. So, you know, I think Amazon is pretty worldwide. But it's in certain bookstores too. You know,
you can download no matter where you live.
With the ebook you can. Yeah, with the ebook, it's not a problem. And somebody wants the physical book and they are, you know, say in the UK or they're in the Netherlands or wherever they are, you know, they can look to see if they can order it, you know, in one of the bookstores where they are, you know, or what have you. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you can order it directly from the distributor. My distributor is Pathway Bookstore. Pathway Book Services in New Hampshire, Keene, New Hampshire, in America. I don't know the number offhand, but if you look that up, you can order the book directly from them, and I believe from anywhere in the world, I believe. You know, yes, because I have an international. So they can just do that, you know, if they want.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Elrita, for being here. I tell you guys, you don't want to miss a beat, because this is going to be in-depth. It's going to be several weeks, several episodes, and you're going to just love what we have coming up next week. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Hello, and thanks for watching the conversation with Elrita Dodds on her new book, A Right to be Christian in a Gay Rights America, A Biblical and Constitutional Defense Against the Persecution of Christians Who Do Not Support Homosexuality. You can reach Elrita through different channels. You can email her at elritadodds@yahoo.com. You can phone her at 313-527-0068. The mailing address is P.O. Box 2099, Detroit, Michigan 48202. You can catch her on the web at www.elritadodds.com or on Facebook at Facebook/Elrita Dodds. Thanks for watching. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.